Thank you for that. Let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter number one. Thank you for being here this morning. Before we begin, a couple things. Today is the 13th anniversary of our deaf ministry, and they are indoors being interpreted, but they're doing it through the live stream, so they can't hear us now or see us, you know, wave our hands. But if you see them, make sure you let them know. Happy 13th anniversary. Also, the tent, the tent's been undergoing a transformation. Okay, we started with this here, and we've been adding chairs and seats the last few weeks because you've been coming. And now, look at, we added a whole new section back here, a new tarp, and now we added more speakers. How many of you noticed that? Yeah. Good. Okay, so now you can hear me. You have no excuse. But as long as you keep coming, if we have to take up the whole parking lot, we'll do it. All right, so keep it up. And then, of course, I do encourage you, if you're married, to come to our couples retreat. Every married couple who possibly can should come. And it's just nice. You need to get away together. So I always mention, you say, well, you know, my husband says we don't need to go away, or my wife says we don't need to go away. That's a problem, okay? So that's part of the issue. So we're going to go away. We're going to have a good time. We'll be creative. The cost is over $100. I think it's about $100 less than last year. And the only difference is, we used to cater in two meals for the night meals, but we can't really do that because the rooms are a little bit, because of this whole COVID stuff, the just doesn't allow us. You still get breakfast there, so that's the only difference. You'll just have to get dinner on your own before you come up on Thursday, and then before we have our session on Friday night, but we're going to have a great, great time, and we're trying to be creative and figure some things out there. Daniel chapter number one. Now, we're going to look at many verses in Daniel. We're going to take a brief drive-by through some of the verses because I'm trying to make a point. All of us know of the ancient Roman gladiator fights where they would fight in front of the emperor and they would fight to the death. But very few people know the story of how it ended. There was a monk at the end of the 4th century. His name was Telemachus, and he had went into Rome, and he saw a crowd that was all excited. What were they doing? And they were all going to the gladiator fight, so he went. And as he went there and realized he knew what was going on, he's like, man, it's been 400 years since Christ, and people are still acting like barbarians. And so as the fights began, he climbed out of the stands and ran down onto to where the gladiators were about to fight, and he got in between them, and he said, in the name of Christ, stop, forbear. The crowd, of course, didn't like this, and they started cheering for the gladiators to take care of him, and one of them came up, and they used the butt end of his sword and sent him flying. He got up again and said, in the name of Christ, forbear, stop, just stop this. And the crowd was again cheering for the gladiators to take care of him. One of them finally came by and took his spear and ran him through. And he fell to the ground, he was bleeding, he eventually died, but as he was dying, he just kept saying, in the name of Christ, forbear, stop this. Well, the emperor was there that day, and he saw that, and it so touched him that when he left, he made a proclamation, no more. The gladiator, it's over, no more killing, no more fights to the death. He made a difference. Today, I want to look at the book of Daniel, because the book of Daniel is about men like that, men who made a difference. You can read through your Bible, you can read through the pages of just secular history, and you're going to notice people who made a difference. And I want us to see how we can do that today. This is the beginning of the story of the book, the stories in the book of Daniel. The first half of the book, of course, are stories. Daniel's life from the time he was taken into captivity until towards the end. The second half of the book of Daniel deals with prophecies, the prophecies that God gave him of the coming world kingdoms, the ones that would come after Babylon, and the future reigning, ruling kingdom, and then also the end times. And so, but the first part of the book is stories to teach us. I think the stories in the book of Daniel teach us how to live in the midst of a wicked and perverse society, a godless society, to be real honest with you. And right off the bat in chapter 1 is a good story. They're taken captive, they are brought in, and they are told that there's some dietary laws that they have to obey. And Daniel and his companion, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, their names were changed. They knew that up front that was going to happen, so they purposed in their heart that they're not going to give in to what they were asked to do. In the first story, of course, we understand that he had a good relationship with the man that was over him that was to see. There was training going on and physical and mental training to help them to be the wise men in Babylon. And so they're given these laws, and they have a good relationship with their overseer, and they go to him and say, look, let's try a little contest here. Let us eat what we want to eat for 10 days. And then at the end of the 10 days, you can check us out. And if everything's going well, then just let us stick with that. And so they come to him and they let that happen. The result of that is in Daniel chapter number 1, verses 18. Look at that for a minute. We're going to look through some verses in every chapter up to chapter 6 briefly, and I'll give you a few thoughts and we'll be done here. What happened? It says, now at the end of the days, the 10 days that the king had said he should bring them, I'm sorry, the end of the days the king had said that he should bring them in, they're on their own diet, they're healthy, they're better, they're doing well. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. That was the whole thing. They're being trained. They're being physically put together, and they're going to go see King Nebuchadnezzar again, someone who is a hothead, as you'll see in other chapters, and someone who you did not mess with. And the king communed with them. He talked with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. He notices that there's something different about these men, and it impresses him. And you're going to see that, I believe, eventually it led to Nebuchadnezzar accepting the true God. But they were able to change his mind. And we're going to look at the other chapters. They did that throughout the whole book of Daniel. They made a difference because they were willing to be different. This book shows Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they made a difference. Now understand, they were captives, a defeated foe living in a foreign country. They were worshipers of a true God in a country that did not worship the true God. Their lives would be blatantly, openly different than everybody else who was around them. They were even different than the other Jews who were also brought into captivity, and I'm sure some of them were also with Daniel and his companions in this training program. And they were different, understanding they were going to face different situations that would test them and their mettle. But what I want you to see is that their lives made a difference. Let's look at a few verses here. We saw how they made a difference in chapter 1. Look at chapter 2 in verse number 47. Chapter 2, verse number 47. You say, I don't have a good Bible. We're having a Bible Sunday in a few weeks. We have a bunch of Bibles to buy. And I think everybody ought to have, if you're a serious Bible student, you ought to have a good Bible. Children ought to have a Bible. Bring it to church. Let's look at it. Verse 47, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors of all the wise men. Now, this is a different chapter and a different story, and we'll look at it in a minute. But what Daniel was able to do in that story completely changed Nebuchadnezzar's mind about God. Nebuchadnezzar's like, your God is the God. He made a difference. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 28. This is a story we looked at a few weeks ago in a Sunday night about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has set his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve him. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill. Not because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. By the way, this was just a few minutes after he was so mad at them for not worshiping his false God, he wanted them to burn. Yep. And yet a few minutes later, here he is saying, you know what? Your God is the God, and if anybody else doesn't worship him, bad things are going to happen to them. Yep. Sounds to me like they made a difference. Yep. In this man's life. Chapter 4 and verse 37. Chapter 4 and verse 37. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now in this story, Daniel talks about a dream that he had and gives him a very unpopular prophecy, something that was going to affect him adversely for 7 years, which it did. But at the end of it, here he is praising God. How did that happen? Seems to me that Daniel made a difference. Chapter 5. We're going to look at two verses. We'll look at a couple of verses in Daniel 6. And then I'll give you some thoughts as to how we can make a difference. Chapter 5. Now this king, Belteshazzar, was not a good king. He did not get the memo. But somebody else had got the memo before him. Daniel chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. He was disturbed about a vision he had. Look at what her testimony of Daniel. There is a man in the kingdom, in whom the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, who the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. The queen, who was around when Daniel knew the other kings, Belteshazzar wasn't so much on his side. He was actually a temporary ruler, if you look at history. But she had a wonderful, glowing testimony of Daniel because of what she saw in his life. And then chapter 6. Chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse number 25. Chapter 6 and verse number 25. It says, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed in his dominion shall be forever unto the end. He delivereth and rescue and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Now, of course, Daniel had a good relationship with him, but this king got suckered into by some of his people into saying no one could pray unto anybody but the king for 30 days, I believe. And Daniel did it anyhow. And when he saw how Daniel stood up and how God worked, it made a difference in his life. That's the point. By the way, these were not Jewish leaders. These were not people that had any clue as to how the real true God in heaven worked. They had no clue about what God had done in the past. They worshiped false idols. They were trained in schooling systems that taught complete opposite, astrology, all the nonsense. And yet these men were able to change their minds and make a difference because of some of the things that they did. But the reason they were able to make a difference is because they were willing to be different. Yes. Amen. Therein lies the problem in the majority of our lives. We will never make a difference because we are not willing to be different. We cannot make a difference in somebody else's life because there is no difference being made in our lives. It's the scourge of our society. Christians have given in and quit trying to make a difference. They're no longer difference makers. And too many of us make excuses as to why We are not. But in Daniel, from each of these chapters, I want to point out, and I see the clock, well, I want to point out a key thought in each one of them that helped them to be a difference maker in their situation and imply it to us. And by the way, what this world needs is people who will make a difference. We need to quit playing church. Our country, I'd say something, I don't know if this is offensive, but if it is, pray for me. It's being flushed down the toilet. And Christians are jingling the handle. Okay, we cannot control what the world does. We cannot control how the world responds, but I think there are enough people in this world looking for somebody to show them something better. Looking for somebody to show them something different. Looking for somebody to really stand up and believe in something despite the fact it may not be popular, but simply because it's right. Amen. What are some of the things, the characteristics of these, Daniel and his companions that made a difference? And I'm going to go through them quickly. Chapter 1, here's why Daniel made a difference. He lovingly lived convictions. Now, we understand about convictions. I preached on that a couple weeks ago. But the key phrase there sometimes we miss when it comes to how we interact with people is that lovingly part. Yeah. That lovingly part. We saw the verse that he read. It said that when Daniel realized the situation and that he could not drink the wine and by the way, there'd be a good place to start for Christians. But anyhow, drink the wine or eat the food that they were giving because it was unclean to them as Jews. When he went to his leader, it says he had brought him into loving favor. Now, make no mistake, Daniel wasn't going to back down. We see that later on. But Daniel realized he didn't have to have an attitude if he wasn't going to back down. He was under this pagan man, in a sense, worked for him, was trained by him, but he treated him right. He loved him. And he was willing to love and stand up in the face of a potential problem and a potential fire. But he did it right. They decided ahead of time how they're going to live. But he also decided he was going to be a individual of character and have a right relationship. By the way, let me say this. Did you know God's desire is that if at all possible, we live peaceably? Amen. Do we understand some people, I hear them write things like they don't want that. Now, it may come a time that we don't get that. And we're going to be doing Daniel, we're going to be doing Shadrach, and we're going to be doing Meshach, and we're going to be doing Abednego. But hey, if we don't have to get there, let's try to live peaceably. Amen. With people. Let me give you a couple verses. First of all, we pray for our leaders for that, do we not? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, you can look at it later. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession of and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings. Kings would be like our president. He's not a king, he's our leader. King would be our governor because he acts and thinks he's a king. Okay, he's a ruler. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. He's the second part. My mistake. And for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to pray for our leaders. And by the way, I know if you listen here enough, I'm pretty sure it's leaked out how I feel about some of our leaders. Yep. Now, let's not go to seed here, okay? John the Baptist was pretty straightforward about what Herod was doing. But doesn't mean we're hateful. By the way, don't you see the hate now? The president gets the coronavirus and people are like, I hope he dies. I'm praying for the coronavirus. Listen, there's not a Gavin Newsom bone in my body. But if he was, I'd pray for him. I treat him with respect. I disagree with him.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm not going to be quiet about that. But the way we interact, sometimes we interact with people in such a way that it's not God they're upset with. They just don't like you.
Yeah.
There was a guy, an evangelist, and some of you may know. You know, his moniker was the most hated man in America. Is that really what God wants? By the way, he wasn't hated because of his preaching. He was hated because of his attitude. Yeah. And by the way, he's changed recently, if you know who he is, and he still has an attitude. Yeah. Okay, look, God wants it. Now, we have to stand for the truth. That doesn't mean we're going to get up here and throw flowers. If the Bible says something, we got to say it too. Yep. But the point is, we can have a good spirit when we deal with people. We're sharing the, sometimes we like to go out and we go soul winning and someone wants to debate. Bless God, we're going to debate them. And we're going to show, no, they don't need that. Right. They need us to tell them the truth. They need us to be loving. They need us to hear our testimony of what God did in our life. Knocked on a door one time and no one answered. I left a track on their door and he came out afterwards. I think it was he. And he wanted to argue. He's like, take this back. I didn't tell you to put on the door. And he thought that I would argue with him. So I walked up to him. I said, I'm sorry, you weren't home. I just put on there. I'll take it back. No problem. And he diffused him completely. He was like, he thought I'd be the average Christian and get in his face. We don't need that. Daniel stood. And by the way, if it wouldn't have worked out, read the other chapters, Daniel would have said, I love you, but I'm not eating it, not drinking it. But doesn't mean we need to go there right away. The Bible even tells us in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Right.
Okay? Where you work, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be the knucklehead. You shouldn't be the antagonistic one. You ought to be a Christian. Don't be a pansy. Don't be wimpy about what you believe, but be kind and loving to people. Number two. In chapter 2, they seriously sought God. Now, I'm going to just give you the story quickly. Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He sees this image. He can't remember the dream. He can't remember all the. And so he tells his wise men, and Daniel and his group are part of that. Like, you need to come tell me the dream, and you need to tell me the interpretation. And all his wise men are like, that's not even. You got to tell us the dream first. It's like, nope, quit stalling. No one could do it, so he's like, kill them. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Kill them all. So they go to Daniel and his house, and it's like, you're going to be killed. Daniel hadn't heard about it. Daniel's like, what for? And they explain to Daniel. He goes, tell the king to give me a time, and I will pray, and I'll find the answer for him for God. And he goes to his buddies, and they seek God earnestly. Verse 15 of Daniel chapter 2. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven according to this secret, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God gave it to him in response to their earnest pleading and prayer to God to give it to him. By the way, the reason they did all the things that they did in the book of Daniel is because they seriously sought God. You cannot stand for God if you will not bow before him. There is just no way. How could they stand up? And we see the other stories, and you know these stories if you've been a Christian. How can they do it? Because they were so close to God, and they sought God so much that they feared nothing else. We say that we believe in God. We say that God can be trustworthy. God is there with us all the time. That's easy to say until you need God to be with you. That's where the rubber meets the road. It was easy for them to say, God's in control. He's our God. He's the true God. You worship a pagan. But when they came to his house with a sword, that was the time to figure it out. You know, maybe we struggle with making a difference in this world because there's nothing different about us because we just don't simply seek God enough. You need to seek God. By the way, you need to come to church. I don't know any dynamic Christian who does not go to church faithfully. But can I just tell you this? I know Christians who come to church faithfully and they're still not dynamic Christians. You know why? They don't have a relationship with God. Look at this. This isn't your, I say it often, this isn't your full meal. This is a supplement. You need to go home and get the meal.
Yes, sir.
If you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, how many of you only would eat twice on Sunday and once on Thursday? You wouldn't do that. By Wednesday, living at your house would be horrible. What do they call it, hangry? You'd be like perpetually hangry, okay? Listen, we need God. And we can't take, they need us to be serious. Being serious about God is more than just owning a Bible. You need to let the Bible transform your life. For you kids, it's more than just going to our Christian school. Christian school is just something to keep you out of the government nonsense. You actually need to live like a Christian. And being in a Christian school doesn't mean you're doing that. Yep. Being a Christian doesn't mean you put money in the offering box. We don't have a plate right now. Do that, please. But guess what? God wants you in the offering box. Yeah. Let's have a relationship with God. If you're struggling in the times in which we live, and by that I mean more than just in our lives, but in our influence for Christ, I guarantee you I can just nail it down. You know, are you seeking God? I've heard this phrase way too many times, and I'll move on. People will come into my office, they want to counsel, and they're talking about things that are going on in their life. And I've actually heard people, as they're telling me what they're struggling with, say, now I know I'm not spending time with God like I should, but, and then they continue on. Yeah. And I want to jump on my desk and say, let me, stop right there. That's the problem. It's not a little phrase you just throw in between your description of your problem and all those consequences you're going through. That is the problem. Now, I understand, I'm being simplistic here. You might need some help in some areas and some pointers. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to get back to that. I could stand on my head. I can open my desk and find spiritual spoofle dust. But if you are not walking with God, nothing's going to help.
Yep, right.
Number chapter 3. They strategically stood tall. Now, I like all the stories, but I just kind of like the spirit of these guys in this story. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, Nebuchadnezzar heard the interpretation of chapter 2. And God said, the image which you saw was made of different things. Gold, brass, iron, mixed with clay. And the head was gold. That represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And then it went down. It represented the other kingdoms that were going to come. And they were made of another metal. Well, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't in on that. He decided to make a huge idol made of solid gold. In other words, my kingdom's going to last forever. And then he made everybody bow down to it. If you don't, you get thrown in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down when the music played. So they brought him between Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, going to give you one more chance. I'm feeling good today. He says, music's going to play. Get down on your knees. If not, you're going to go in the fire. Now, here's their answer. And I love these guys. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Let me interpret that into today's thing. We're not being politically correct here. Okay, we probably should say something cute to make you happy and calm you down. We ain't doing it. We can't. Now, I don't think they were mean-spirited about it. They're just being honest. Okay? And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar said, if I throw you in, your God's not going to spare you. Okay, good. Don't challenge God. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They're contradicting what he just said. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Either way, he'll deliver us from in the fire, or if we don't, at least we're out of your hand. Either way, we're trusting God. But be it known, they just threw this in. They just got to throw this in. But be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You understand Nebuchadnezzar killed people if they looked at him wrong. That took guts. But you know what? There was no chance to think of a secondary option like with the diet. There was no chance to pray for God to give them the vision. Time was over. You know what they said? Just got to stand. There's no way out of this one. And king, we're going to tell you the truth. We're not going to lie to you. We're going to be honest. By the way, integrity demands honesty. You ever been somewhere, and I worked out in the world, and they'll be talking about some goofy, sinless thing like abortion or whatever. Like, well, you agree with that, don't you? How many of you have ever got a question like, they don't ask you a question, but they say it, and like, well, you agree with that, don't you? Hey, you can't be quiet. It's like, actually, no, I don't. Because I believe in God. These guys stood strong. They were strategically standing. Do you understand this? Error needs to be met with truth. Yes. It can't be met with silence. It can't be met with trying to dance our way around like a politician. Yes. We have to stand up and be right.
Amen.
When someone says there are more than two genders, that's an error, and we need to meet it with truth. There's only two genders. And it's the gender you were born with. It's not what you... Look, we're not going to have gender reveals when you're 21. Okay? That's before you're born. The ultrasound figured that out long before you were born and went to school and were corrupted by our government educational system. You say, but I go... So? That's the truth. That stuff is being peddled. They go to the bathroom and they're confused. When someone says that man's a product of evolution, that's an error and it must be met with truth. Yep. By the way, you know how much evidence there is for evolution, counting the last one? Zero. That's why it's a theory. Yep. But they won't teach creation. When someone says that marriage is between two or more people of any type for any reason, that's an error. And it's got to be met with truth. You say, well, you're whatever phobic. There's always a new phobic, right? I'm not a phobic. I'm a godic. That's what God says. When they say that a baby is a choice and not a person, that is not just an error. It's intrinsically wicked.
Yeah. Amen.
Thought I'd just share that.
Yeah.
It must be met with truth. By the way, I really don't want to make you mad, but that's okay. It's my job sometimes. When I look at these four things, there's one political party that believes all of them. I don't see how a Christian can vote for anybody in that political party. You are either ignorant, you've been corrupted, or you do not look in your Bible very often. I'm just telling you. That's not popular, but that's why our country, Christians are jiggling the handle, but the Democrats flushed it first. And I'm not saying all Republicans are right. Don't get me wrong. But when I look at the political platform of people and I'm trying to make a Christian vote and I see that they're confused about marriage, they're confused about gender, they're confused about killing unborn babies and killing them now after they're born, my mind's been made up. I'm not going to stand before God one day and say, why did you vote for that governor who says it's okay for babies to, if a baby that's been aborted is born alive, can be killed by the doctor afterwards? That's not going. I'm not going to vote for someone that says that they changed the difference for 10 years when it comes to pedophiles. Okay? Hey, we need to get our heads out of the sand. And by the way, the world's going that way because they know Christians don't stand up for anything. All right, let me get back to being nice here. Number four, we better hurry. Chapter four. They compassionately charged the truth. Compassionately charge the truth. What happened is in chapter 4, again, I think God was, because of Daniel and his friends, God was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar and I think bringing him to the point where he would trust in the living God. In chapter 4, because of Nebuchadnezzar's pride, he has another vision. Daniel interprets it and says, God says that he's going to make you crazy for 7 years. You're going to leave the palace. You're going to live like a wild man, eating grass and not cutting your hair. You're literally going to be crazy for 7 years, and then God will give you your sanity back. But look what Daniel says. Daniel could have just said that and walked out like Jonah was like, 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed, no love offering, I'll see you later. No, he cared about him. So look what he says. Verse 25, then they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Thou shalt make to eat grass as oxen. They shall be wet with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over thee, 7 years, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever will. God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know who's in charge. Now look what he says. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the root tree, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. He says, after the 7 years, you're going to get your job back. Wherefore, verse 27, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He goes, let me give you some advice. Live right. Do the right thing. Change. Daniel knew, if you read the Old Testament, some things God was going to do, well, think like Nebuchadnezzar. God was going to have him die, and Nebuchadnezzar got some extra time because he changed. And there's other times God thought to do something, but because the people changed, he didn't do it. And he's given him a counsel. Change your life. Change the way you're living. Be different. And who knows? Maybe God will lengthen your tranquility, and I'm sure in the back of his mind, maybe God won't have to do this if you catch it another way. The truth. You see, when we give the truth, it's important that we give people the flip side. I was reading yesterday in Haggai. And in Haggai, or Zephaniah, God's talking about his judgment coming. And then there's like a two verses there like, but turn back to God. And then he gets back to the judgment. God always is like that. God's like, here's the bad things that are going to happen. But you know what? If you turn and you come back and you change what you do. See, people need hope. Sometimes people do things and they do something wrong. And I'll talk to them. I'm like, this isn't history lesson time. It's over. Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about how God wants to work in your life. Let's talk about how God can change what's going on. And he's saying, listen, there's some hope in the midst of what God is saying. Yes, we need to speak the truth, and I think it leaks out every now and then. But it's very important that we also speak it one-on-one and to people with compassion, the balance. The reason you want to stay away from those things is because God has something so much better for you. Change your life and see what God can change your life. God will help you change your life so that things will change for you. That's compassion. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. Chapter 5. He diligently displayed character. He diligently displayed character. Daniel chapter 5, verse 12. While you're flipping there, I'm going to read it. The king, Belteshazzar, did not know Daniel very well. He was actually a co-king with his grandfather. But the queen did. And here's what she said about Daniel, because she remembered him from the past. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreted of dreams, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. And now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. She looked at Daniel all those years, and she said, he has character, he's diligent, he works hard. Remember, we won't get to it, but in Daniel chapter 6, when they were trying to find something against Daniel, they couldn't find it in his character because he was so solid in the way he lived, the way he treated people, the way he worked. The only way they could find a law for him to violate was to make a law that would contradict what God told him to do. Hey, I'd love to have that testimony. I would love to. I would love, and I don't know if it would happen. I don't know, I would love for someone to look at my life and say, I got to find something out about that guy. He's done something wrong. And it's like, you know, if we're going to catch him, we got to get him. We got to make a law that would violate the law of his God because he'll follow his God. Even that's a great testimony right there. That's why Daniel outlasted all the kingdoms. Daniel outlasted all the leaders. And every single one of them, he was front and center with them. Why? Because he had an excellent character. What about you? When you are around people, do you have a great spirit? Do you know what you're talking about? Can you help people to understand what's going on? The problem is we're not going to make a difference in this world because most of us are no different than this world. We have the same character level as this world. We have the same moral level as this world. We have, sadly, most Christians have the same spiritual level as the world and the same attitude as the world. But we're to be witnesses of what God can do in someone's life. Now, how do you do witnesses? How are we witnesses of what God can do in someone's life? We tell them what God can do in their life? Yes, but more than that, we got to show them what God can do in their life by what he has done in our life. Very important. Lastly, he openly obeyed truth. Chapter 6. He openly obeyed truth. Now, we know this story. Darius really liked Daniel. There was three other leaders that didn't like that Daniel was over them. And Daniel was there, and so they tried to get rid of Daniel, as I just mentioned. So they make the law that you can't pray to anybody for, I believe, 30 days. Now think about this law, and let's see how Daniel reacted. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, it's almost like he was waiting. Okay, signed, here we go. He went to his house, and his windows being open in his chambers towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, let me just explain how the average Christian in our time would have done it. I can still pray without my windows being open. I can still pray without being upon my knees. I can still pray without saying something or someone looking at me and actually being able to see that I'm praying. I can just sit down in my chair and be praying in my heart. After all, It doesn't matter. It's just communication between me and God. There's a lot of people that would have justified that, right? And I don't know. I don't know. And maybe it is, and you'll tell me later after the service, and I'm a dummy. I don't even know if that would have been wrong. But I just like Daniel. When someone says you can't do this and it's something you're spiritual, you're supposed to do, maybe Daniel said, they all know I'm a Christian. They all know I worship God. If his window's open, and that's what he did three times a day, every day, people knew it. And he's like, I'm just not gonna give them the satisfaction or let them know I push back. Amen. By the way, Christians like to be silent.
Come on.
We do. I'm serving God, but you know, I just kind of keep it on the down and down because I don't want to be part of this cancel culture because I know I'm a Christian. I don't want to be shouted down at work or have to answer questions because I'm a Christian. By the way, the reason you don't want to answer questions is because you're not studying your Bible, so you don't know the answers. That's a sermon for another day. But you know what? There's something. Look, I don't like necessarily conflict. As I was growing up, that was not me. But, you know, I was a type like, if conflict coming, I'm not backing down. Now it's just kind of part of my job. You gotta stand up for things. But it's like, listen, don't back down. Well, I can still do this another way and no one will ever know. That's bad. Yep. See, they may have never, look, what would they have done if they would have said, aha, Daniel's not praying like he did before. We got him. He doesn't really believe. But I'm praying in my heart. They don't know that. You know what this world needs? It says, listen, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what other Christians even say. I don't care what ridicule comes. If I see something in the Bible and the Bible tells me to do it, I'm going to openly do it and you're not pushing me back. Now, you don't need to say you're not pushing me back. Daniel didn't jump on a stump and say, I'm praying for before God. If you don't like it, oh, well. He just went to his room, made sure the windows were up, did what he did before, knowing that they were looking, and he did it. We're not going to make a difference if we're quiet. By the way, I do believe there's a lot of people in this world, they're looking for something different. They're looking for something different. Well, I walked into church as a 17-year-old. I was tired of my life. I wanted something different. I didn't want the same nonsense I was a part of before. I was saved, and I was reading my Bible, and I'm like, I want something different. And there was people in there I saw that were different, and I'm like, that's what I want. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you making a difference? We talk about discipleship and encouraging others. You can't do that. You can't give to other people something which you do not have yourself. But let's make a difference. They went through a lot. But guess what? In every chapter, somebody noticed. In every chapter, somebody's mind was changed about what they believed about God. I hope that we do the same thing. Let's stand together for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. Listen, this world, we're in crazy times. And I get it. And I get it. And we need to do our part as citizens. We need to do all that. But more than that, we need to do our part as Christians. Let's give this world a chance. A chance at something better. Let's not be quiet. We don't need to be quiet. We don't need to be rude. We don't need to be quiet. Let's be an encouragement. Let's be loving. Let's share our faith. Let's share what God has done in our life. And let's encourage others to what God can do in their life. But we're not going to make a difference by compromising on what we believe. We're not going to make a difference by being silent or hiding who we are or what we believe. We need to show people. We need to lovingly share what God can do. I think some of us, we listen to so much news and so much junk, and we buy into what it just silences us. Let's just back away from that. Let's spend some time with God. I don't know what area of your life, I mentioned six, that maybe you have a weakness in. Maybe you need to strengthen that this morning. Maybe if you're here, you cannot make a difference for God if you do not know Him. You cannot be close to God if you're not one of His children. If you're here this morning, my question to you is, are you a Christian? Now, let me define that for you. A Christian is somebody that knows without a shadow of a doubt and can give a reason why they will go to heaven when they die, a biblical reason. If you're here this morning and I were to ask you this, do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know 100% for sure, or do you have any doubt? If you can't say with 100% surety, then maybe you need to find that out today. If you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die and go to heaven, but I'd like to know that for sure. Would you please pray for me, Pastor? Anybody like that, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for so much that you do for us. We are so undeserving of your mercies. And I pray, Father, you would help us. You've made a difference in our life. And I pray that you would help us to make a difference in this world. Lord, I hope that when each and every one of us one day die, our dash is over, that, Father, that there'd be something, someone, that we've made a difference in their life for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.